Welcome back, folks. We're trying to connect up with Tommy Fauché, president of Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. We'll break down how the oil and gas industry was impacted by the legislative session. There was a lot of work done on carbon capture, and we'll talk with Tommy once we connect up with him about that. In the back half of this hour, we'll go to the talk lines. I'm getting a lot of texts over the past several days. Folks seem to want me to talk about two items. They want me to talk about what's going on with the sheriff on the North Shore. I will do so, and I'll tell you what my opinion and what my feelings are about that. They also want me to talk about Chief Joshua Rondino, who was placed on leave yesterday. The original information that I have was that I had received was that he was terminated yesterday, and then I saw and it was reported that he was placed on leave. Not a lot of information about that. But we'll talk about those two things in the 12:30 segment, and we want to hear from you. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on both of those issues. I think it would be very interesting to hear from you on that. Also, just want to remind folks that today at 4 p.m. on Sports Talk, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak, you can hear our exclusive interview with Saints tight end coach Chase Haslett. Plus more from the OTAs with safety Justin Reed and gearing up for game two of the NBA Finals. And you can tune in for the updates there. We have Tommy Fauché, president of Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Happy Friday, Newell. How are you?
Doing great. I'm glad it's Friday. I'm ready for the weekend. Ready to watch a little NBA basketball tonight as well. I know you're happy this week. The session closed on the first.
Yes.
I'm sure. I hope you got a little R&R since then.
We have. You know, it's funny. Every year, we know the drill. We know how this is going to work. But I tell you what, the end of it always feels great, no matter how it goes. So glad to get a little bit of a break. Hopefully some of these legislators did as well.
So for the energy sector, how did you guys fare out this year?
Look, I think it was a really good session for energy companies, industry as a whole. You know, I'll give you some of the highlights. We passed HB 804, which is also being called the Louisiana Energy Protection Act, a great bill. I talked to you a little bit about it, I think, early in the session. Of course, you never know how those things are going to go. But This bill basically protects oil and gas companies as well as really any Louisiana businesses from being sued based on climate change. We started seeing some of these lawsuits pop up in other states around the country where basically someone would allege that they had some type of harm. And in one case, a lady had died in Washington state and her heirs claimed that climate change was the reason for, in this case, her heat stroke. And so they felt then they could bring claims, a lawsuit against any manufacturer, producer of oil and gas, transporter of oil and gas, any business that was connected to fossil fuels. And so we were able to pass a bill this year in Louisiana that says you will not be allowed to bring those claims, which is a really big deal because, you know, we already have a highly litigious climate here. Anything we can do to shield Louisiana business and industry from those claims, not from the stuff that happens. Legitimate claims, those are all still citizens will have the right to file a lawsuit if they believe they were harmed. This is just strictly on the basis of climate change, and it's a really, really big deal, and I think the highlight bill for us of the session. After that, I mean, look, we made great strides in preserving our carbon capture and sequestration program in the state. We supported some of the governor's workforce efforts, which is extremely important, and you had some really good legislators leading the way there, you know, continuing to protect the oil and gas industry and making sure that it has the same protections as other critical infrastructure when it comes to, you know, security, you know, regards to terrorism and things like that. Really all of that combined, I know I kind of just went through the whole list, makes it a successful session for us. And I think a successful session for us is good for, you know, the 300,000 men and women who work in the industry.
There was a fairly large package of bills dealing with carbon capture. A lot of that very contentious. There were some hearings that were a little crazy. How did that fare out?
Yeah, so it went well. Look, you know, this is the fourth session in a row that we have had some of these hearings on carbon capture. What I have noticed, and I think it's become clear, is every year, yes, there's been opposition, but the opposition has localized certain parts of the state and diminished, I believe, significantly. And I think the reason is companies, the industry continues to engage in town halls and listening sessions and information campaigns so that people understand what carbon capture is. There's also been some work done by Governor Landry, LED, you know, some of our other economic development partners to make sure that people are aware of what's actually happening, not what they're being, you know, the misinformation that's been used to scare them. And so what I think you saw in this, you know, I think there were 40-something bills filed on carbon capture this year. And what we were able to focus the discussion on was making sure that the time and energy is spent on making the industry operate in a safe manner, in a manner that respects the communities, and not getting into some of, you know, the fights around the margins where you have a lot of, you know, traditional oil and gas antagonists and people have been trying to shut down the fossil fuel industry, Sierra Club and others. You know, they were coming in and trying to, you know, spread misinformation around carbon capture to get people to oppose it. We were able to, I think, push a lot of that misinformation to the side and really talk with the communities and the legislators representing those communities about this is what's actually going to happen. This is the industry and its actual safety record. By the way, remember, we know in Louisiana how to construct pipelines, to operate injection wells, all the things that we've done well for decades. Remember, we still are the leaders in that, and we are the experts in that. Don't get caught up in the misinformation. Let's talk about the facts. And I think what you saw was a much more focused conversation. And you know, I tell people all the time, the industry is the oil and gas industry is more than 100 years old in Louisiana, Noel. Every session, we still legislate on oil and gas. We're going to do that on carbon capture for the foreseeable future.
I was a little surprised, although I didn't follow it closely enough, and that's on me. The issues about property rights relative to carbon capture, what was the spin that was going on there?
Well, so I think, you know, there was definitely, particularly on the far right, you know, a real focus on eminent domain and ensuring that, you know, what the opponents would say is that the industry was coming in and just stealing people's land to be able to build projects. First off, that's not happening. So you have to push that aside. The industry, you know, the laws, the eminent domain laws in Louisiana that have existed for oil and gas are the same laws that are going to exist for carbon capture. And so the same protections that have been in place for years when we're building natural gas pipelines or doing other oil and gas work, those same protections apply. The same due process applies. And what we're actually seeing is, you know, we only have three of the class six permits. These are the permits needed for carbon capture. Of the 30 plus that have been applied for in Louisiana, only three have actually been issued. And so no company is yet injecting CO2 under these new permits. So those projects aren't far enough along. If you would listen to some of those who come to the legislature, and I understand their concern, you know, obviously if they own property, they want to be treated properly, and we want them to be treated properly. But at the same time, there have been no instances of companies coming and, you know, quote unquote, stealing land. I would go back and say there haven't even been companies coming and going through the process to acquire property using eminent domain. And so I think it's another one of those areas where I absolutely appreciate the position, particularly those people in central and western Louisiana wanting to make sure that their property is protected. I think it's also important to recognize that a lot of the the spin and the information, I go back to these groups who are trying to just stop the industry, you know, they would have you believe that the industry is just running rampant and taking everyone's property. No one's property has been taken. It's just not happening. And so there were some lengthy debates about that. You know, everyone was involved, from the industry to the administration to local activists to legislators from those areas. You know, I'm confident we will continue to talk about this. You know, we're going to work between this session and next on making sure that the rules of the road, if you will, for landmen, so the people in the industry that actually negotiate, you know, leases with people to use their property for pipeline construction, et cetera, we're actually going to work with members of the House and Senate Natural Resources Committees to make sure that the rules of the road for those landmen, to ensure that when they go engage with a landowner, that they are doing it the right way, that they're being respectful, that they're following the law. We're going to work to even, I think, put an extra layer of comfort on top of that. Even though I believe the current system is absolutely strong enough and done the right way, we've actually talked about this, that look, if there is a focus and a concern, then let's put some things in place to make sure that that interaction between the companies and individual property owners is sound.
And that sounds like a sound strategy, you know, because people would ask, well, what do you fear, you know, by improving on that? And the truth be told, you'll probably fear nothing, right? Because if it's been working so far, it you don't give up a lot to take that extra step, quite frankly, right?
No, that's right. And look, I'm very much of the mindset, we want an industry of good actors. If there's somebody who's mm-hmm. not doing it right, then we want to identify those people and make sure, because that's just not the way 99% of the industry works. And so if we can do things to provide a little more reassurance in some cases, then I think we want to do that. And I'm looking forward to working on some of that as we go into the, you know, the off season, if you want to call it that, between this session and next.
Tommy, I'm going to ask you a question. It comes across on our text line, and it's not in your main lane of travel that I believe. Maybe it is. The
sure.
question is, was there any discussion, and what about the future of compact nuclear reactors in Louisiana? I know that you always have your finger on the pulse of energy.
Sure.
Did you see something going on there in this session?
So there has been some conversation that's been happening. Wasn't a lot of legislation related to this, but, you know, during the session, it's been several weeks ago now, the governor hosted an LED, their nuclear summit in New Orleans, a really successful event that is focusing utilities, the industry, policymakers on what you could do to allow for miniature nuclear in Louisiana. I mean, everyone needs to remember, right, we already have nuclear power plants in Louisiana. I live in St. Charles Parish. We have Waterford 3 just up the road. But this is a conversation I think that's going to continue, and I think it's probably going to pick up speed. We know we're going to need more power in Louisiana. You know, the data center space is not ours, but you're right. We're very much interested in all things energy. We are consumers and producers of energy. And so that is extremely important for us. I think nuclear is going to play a part in that. You know, there was a bill filed, SB 490, that aimed at trying to, and it ultimately stopped. It didn't make it across the finish line. But I think this was an effort to make sure that there are as many options for energy production. As you know, the electricity demands are only going to grow in Louisiana. I think that is a sign that there are more conversations to come that need to happen to make sure that, you know, we have the flexibility needed to not only, you know, increase the amount of power for data centers or other large industrial growth, but at the same time, make sure that ratepayers, both at the residential and at the industrial and commercial level, are all, you know, being treated fairly. I absolutely believe that conversation will continue well beyond this session into the next. I mean, the conversations around power and energy needed to power everything are only increasing around the country.
Yeah, for sure. Another crazy question. How many more days before you forget these bill numbers?
Hey, look, you know, this is an acquired skill. I would share that with your listeners. It is an acquired skill, but look, those days are coming quickly. What I have learned: more time in the sun, more time by the pool, more time at the beach is a great cleanser for all of them. Yeah. But it's coming. You're reading my mind on this Friday afternoon.
You know, the time that I spent up there, I always couldn't wait for that brain flush. You know, just, okay, I don't need any of this anymore. Out.
No, it's great. And, you know, it's funny because that session, it's different in Louisiana. You know, some states stretch it out over longer periods. Some do it in the very first part of the year. Look, at the end of the day, what I always come away from a session feeling is that, you know, for the good, the bad, and the ugly that happens, and Lord knows we saw it all, it also focuses our attention, you know, policymakers, business leaders, community members, on hopefully the right issues. And, you know, from our perspective, it also gives me a chance to work with a lot of our closest partners. You know, we have our mutual friend, Michael Heck and GNO Inc. You know, we have their peers around the state. You know, we work with the administration. We work with legislators. We don't always agree, but at the end of the day, I hope that we're still pushing Louisiana forward. But
absolutely,
it is time for a break. I can tell you that. It's time for some sunshine.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in the immediate aftermath of this. And go have a drink and a happy Friday and have a good weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Same to you, Newell. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Tommy Fauché, president of Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. We'll be right back, folks. We'll go to the talk lines. A lot of folks texting in want to hear what I have to say about Sheriff Randy Smith and Chief Joshua Rondino. We'll cover both of those topics when we return. Stay with us.